Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
As long as this bill continues to cut taxes on the very wealthy and hurt working Americans, the bill's going to be as unpopular as it is today.
That right there, Chuck Schumer yesterday talking about the bill. Healthcare, of course, is the big thing. Let's talk about healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. And last hour, we touched on something. Charlie Gard is a young boy who is in Great Britain, whose family is fighting to give him the opportunity to come over here and to do what is essentially an experimental, take an experimental drug, and the chances of his improving is minimal. But it's a chance. Otherwise, he's going to die. And that's the case that the British lawmakers are making, and the National Health Services, NHS, are saying, look, he's going to die. We need to pull the plugs. You need to get all the things you need to get together. We've done enough, but we feel that this is the best course of action. It's frustrating as hell. It really is. And this is what the Republicans will point out to you. This is part of the services that go along with being a single-payer system. Is something like this, that the state, that the government is going to decide your fate. It's hard to argue when you hear stuff like that. It really is hard to argue. But is it rare? It's very rare. But it still shouldn't happen. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Russell, what's happening?
Hi, Chad. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, brother.
I was thinking about the thing there with Charlie, and it makes no sense because everything's paid for, and the only reason I can think the courts would try to block this and NHS would be against it is that if it's successful, this would mean that they then have to cover any future treatments that are similar.
Well, you know what? With the NHS, it's weird. And this is not the first time there's been an incident like this. There was one that happened 5 years ago, Russell, where a husband and wife team took their child. Eventually, I believe they got to Spain because they had stopped treatment there. And they said, look, we just don't think your child's going to make it. They took their child to Spain. Their child ended up surviving, but they were eventually arrested and in custody for 5 days because they put a warrant out for their arrest for them essentially kidnapping their own child. And you don't know what the thought process is, and that's why they're going through all of this legal wranglings. But it is insane when it doesn't cost you a penny at all to do something. And
why
challenge it? I appreciate your call, man. Thanks for holding on. I don't know why. But I will tell you guys this, that there's a way to do things and there's a way not to. At times, we as human beings, we have this hubris that we can do a lot of things better, right? And in some things in life, it's great. Do you think we've improved on the wheel? We didn't reinvent the wheel, but we made the wheel a lot better. We didn't stop at dial-up internet. We've made it better. Could we take single payer and make it better? I believe we could. Still doesn't mean there's not going to be haves and have-nots, because there will be. But I think that we have to start exploring all options here, and nothing should be left off the table. Nothing. Nothing should ever be left off the table. You can't do that. Too often than not, though, people do. They say, no, 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 it's this way or that way. It doesn't always have to be black or white. And it's frustrating. And as a parent of a youngster, I couldn't even imagine what that would be like. But I have a 13-year-old little brother that wasn't supposed to last 13 hours, let alone 13 years. And he's not much different than Charlie Gard, except for the fact that everything that happened to him at birth. But right now, I'm down, you know, we've moved our studios to a new studio. I'm closer to my family. I'm helping them out because my little brother's 13, who has brain damage, who has a trach, who has cerebral palsy. He has a G-tube. That's where they feed him. He has seizures, multiple. He has a lot of issues. One of his issues right now is he is got scoliosis so bad, and because of the way he lays, that they're having to go in and straighten out his spine and his legs because it's so bad, it's crushing his lungs, and it's making it tough for him to breathe. And so they have to do a surgery that is dangerous for a child like him. But you have to give the child a fighting chance, right? Charlie's got a fighting chance. It's not going to cost a penny. It's not. This is the world we live in, though. And the world that, you know, politicians, you know, get involved. And when you get involved in a situation like this, there's going to be times like this. It's not an everyday scenario. I lived in Britain. This didn't happen all the time. This didn't. And we also live in a world, right, where we see medical getting better each and every single year. It's getting stronger. It's getting better. And so we always have that hope that there could be a miracle and that your grandmother, your mother, your father, whoever it is, that there's that chance because of biotechnology and because of medicine, because of the fusion of everything, and it's going to be a fighting chance. And so what we see, especially in our country, is we see those end-of-life scenarios where we keep people alive 3, 4, 5 years, and they don't get better, they get worse. And that's a lot of what people say. They talk about the death panels. Well, not really death panels, but there is a discussion, I'm sure, in the hospitals about what's the right action to take on certain people. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Pam in Jacksonville, what's happening? Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, what's happening?
Sorry about that. Yes, I have a family member who is the director of a large healthcare conglomerate up in the middle, or up in the east, the Midwest, I'm sorry, the Midwest, in Ohio, but they cover Ohio, Illinois, just several different states. One of the things that have been brought up is to make one universal form so that whenever the people who do the Medicare, Medicaid, and health insurance coding, that they all use the same form. Because if you look at the initial form for someone to get Medicare, Medicaid, health care, it is somewhere close to 30 pages just to fill out that initial document.
Yeah.
And that is very laborious. It is very cost intensive, and if one little dot is incorrect, then they kick back that 30-page form, and that person does not get the health insurance or the health care that they need. But every single health insurance has a different form.
Yeah.
So if everybody used one form, according to their research, it would be very cost effective. And when they had lawyers that actually looked at it, I never understood why they never went and pursued something like that. I never understood what the benefit was, except that they wanted to kick back the forms. They wanted to deny coverage. Why?
Oh, of course.
Never went to a universal form.
Of course they don't. And it loses jobs, and people would have to lose their jobs, they'll say, and people would end up dying, and it would be confusing. And it's not. I appreciate your call, Pam. And I have – how many of you out there are frustrated when you go to fill out a form or do something with the government? You fill out 27 forms that you know you could fill out in one form, and then there's triplicates of this, that, and the other. It's insane. Well, guess what? It's the same thing when it comes to health insurance. It's the same thing when it comes to a lot of this stuff. The bureaucracy is so massive and so huge, and the waste. And it's about dragging on situations and being able to say, I can deny you for this, or I can deny you for that, or we still think this is an experimental treatment and we won't pay for it, even though it's really not experimental. And they could have been doing that treatment, you know, whatever treatment it is, for 5 or 10 years, and it could be mainstream. It's insane. It really is. And that's why when I said earlier today that even though you get frustrated, and we should be frustrated with the way that the Republicans have gone about the repeal and replace and the whole nine yards with health care, Obamacare, understand that it's not as simple as going, let's repeal it, and then we'll worry about it later. There are so many things that people want to do and to add to and to take away from, but it is a law. And each state has their own laws, and you have to go into certain parameters, and it's putting together pieces. Imagine having 50 people in a room, none of them spoke the same language, but you're trying to get everybody to communicate the same. Crazy. Eventually, you realize, oh, I know a language that we can all speak. Math. Right? 2 + 2 = 4 in any language. But it's finding out what's that universal thing that we can put together. And healthcare is confusing, and it's stressful, and it eats us up, and it's not cost efficient, and it's run at times crazily. And at the same time, we have the best system in the world when it comes to things that matter, like the big things. If you're going to have a heart attack, you want to have it in the United States. If you're going to have cancer, you want to have it here. If you're going to, all of those things. But for a lot of other stuff, it's frustrating, it's costly, and it's ridiculous. But we can fix it if we put our heads together. If we do, there's a way to make this work. But some politicians got to be brave enough to realize that you're walking a knife's edge. And even if you get it right, you may not be there for the long haul. You may not. Winston Churchill got Britain and Europe through the darkest days as their leader in wartime. You would think he'd be rewarded by being reelected, but instead he was thumped. So even if you win sometimes, you may lose. But then we look back in history and said that's the greatest leader of the last century. So, got to decide. Hey, if you're hiring right now, that's great. But what are you going to do? Do the same old same? Nope. Stop what you're doing. ZipRecruiter.com. Boom. ZipRecruiter.com. 100 plus sites, single click. What you've been doing, one site at a time. Wop, wop, wop. You go to those sites, you post your ad, you hope somebody comes and finds you. Okay. ZipRecruiter. Amazing technology, unlike any other. You post your job, 100 plus sites, instantly, and with their technology that separates them from the rest, they actually have the technology that will go out and find qualified candidates for you. In fact, ZipRecruiter gets qualified candidates in just 24 hours. Are you kidding me? That's 80% of those jobs find those qualified candidates in 24 hours. You, still waiting. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go to ZipRecruiter.com. You don't have to worry about juggling emails, calls. You quickly screen, rate, and hire the right candidate fast. They've got this easy-to-use dashboard that you will absolutely love. Right now, the listeners of this show, no matter what size your company is, you're going to find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by companies of all sizes to get the most qualified job candidates. You can post your job for free today. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. One more time, post your job for free today. You will be happy you did. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Benson. Tell them, hey, Chad sent me. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Got to get something off your mind? Text the show 24/7. We've got a special number just for you. 323-538-CHAD. That's 323-538-2423. And keep it clean.
Again, I didn't know there was any credibility. I didn't know if there was anything behind it. I can't vouch for the information. Now, someone sent me an email. I can't help what someone sends me. You know, I read it. I responded accordingly.
That right there, Don Jr. talking about the emails. He's released them all, by the way, as transparent as you can be. He's so transparent, he's like a window into transparency. That's how transparent Don Jr. is. The questions now. Did he do anything really wrong? Should he be investigated? What crimes did he commit? My friends, what crimes did Don Jr. commit? By taking a meeting from somebody who said that they had dirt on Hillary Clinton, he's got to have committed crimes. My God. Right? Right? Yeah, not so fast.
In retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently. Again, this is before the Russia mania. This is before they were building it up in the press. For me, this was opposition research.
Opposition research. First of all, from all the people I have talked to, and I've talked to a few people who are attorneys and such things, and they've said, look, the law reads like this. If somebody had some financial gain out of this, you could probably prosecute, and even then it may be tough to prove. So the chances of him doing something wrong was probably slim to none. Does it look bad optically? Of course it does. Does it make things tougher for the Republicans to get done? I hear that, but I will tell you this right now. That to me feels like an excuse. You guys now have a built-in excuse of what to take back to your constituents. We wanted to get this done. We needed to get this done. We worked hard to get this done, but it's so tough because the oxygen in the room is being sucked out by Russia, Russia, Russia. Built-in excuse. You've built an excuse, right? You've got the built-in excuse. Don't let, you can't let them slide. That's a built-in excuse. You guys have the perfect excuse. We couldn't get it done. We tried. We made an effort. But it's about Russia. And then they blocked us. And then it was more about Russia. And then they blocked us more. Blah, blah, blah. That's an excuse. Don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions. You've built in an excuse. Don Jr. didn't do anything that anybody else in small town America who has somebody who's running for election somewhere and they're going up against another person who a lot of people know and may or may not vote for, and the chance to find out even more dirt on that person would have been available that you wouldn't have taken that meeting, even if it was the mayor in the following town or somebody who said, the mayor sent me from the following town. Didn't do anything. Poor choices? Yes. Could have made a better choice in not hiding it and disclosing it. But no law, nothing to see, nothing's broke. We can all move on with our lives. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
There's no other way about it. His little legs, his little core, his little head. I'm going to knock him out inside 4 rounds. Mark my words.
I can listen to that all day. There's no other way about it. His little legs, his little corn. You're like, what? Did he say corn? That was yesterday. Showman right there. Showman. That's what he is. Earlier today, I said, you know what? There is parallels between what's going to take place August 26th and what took place last November and the preceding months that led up to that. Case in point, Donald Trump, neophyte when it comes to politics, right? Brand new guy. I'm brand new, but you guys know who I am. Conor McGregor. You guys know who I am, but I've never boxed before. The media, The Democrats, been around forever, got it all going on. Oh, my goodness, what's this storm coming? Floyd Mayweather, been around forever. What's this storm coming? What's this all about? Boom. Anything can happen on that night, just like in November, and many of us still ask the question at times, did that really happen? How did we get here? We got here because we did. Because America spoke, and they said Trump. But Trump's got to realize the controversy's not going anywhere, not anytime soon, and it's going to continue to be here when it comes to Russia. New exclusive video breaking out tonight shows Trump with associate tied to email controversy. Oh, no, more. Again, no there there. I'm not saying at one point in time there may not be a time where you go, you know what, there's there there, and now I'm curious. Now I'm curious. But right now I'm distracted by other things that matter to people in life. Things that affect us on a day-to-day basis. What do you do every single day? Sure enough, as you wake up, you get on the internet. Every single day, we get on the internet. If you woke up this morning and you turned on your computer and you went to Netflix or you went to Hulu or you went to many of these, you know, massive corporations, you were hit with the opening thing that says, do you care about the internet and do you want it to remain neutral? If so, follow us here. If you don't care for the internet, click this and go elsewhere. Well, if you follow it, where does it take you? Took you to a petition, net neutrality. What is net neutrality?
So net neutrality is the principle that all of the information that flow over the pipes that come onto your computer, right? So when you type in a website, information flows over pipes, it comes to your computer. Net neutrality is the principle that all that information has to be treated the same. So the companies that own the pipes can't say, you know what, we don't want that website to be fast, we want that one to be slow, and we don't like what that one is saying, so we're going to stop it altogether, and maybe you'd like a tiered plan so you can get Wikipedia, right? So net neutrality is a very important principle to people on the internet.
So, net neutrality. Why does it matter? What is this all about? Who wants net neutrality? Who doesn't want net neutrality? It's confusing as all get up. And does it really matter? Because all that most of us want to do is wake up, go to work, do our stuff, be able to turn on our computers and surf the net, fly around, see the things we want to see, stream our shows, do those kind of things. What do I care about net neutrality? Well, you care in a few ways. First of all, you care because these big ISPs, their internet service providers, they're going to hope that net neutrality goes away. And in doing so, they're going to be able to charge more to certain companies like Netflix for the amount of bandwidth and the speed that people want. And because of that, they're going to get a faster lane. You may get a faster lane, but it's frustrating. If they don't want to pay it, then it's going to be slow. How slow? It's probably slow as it is now. But if you're one of those internet service providers, you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute here. It's my damn thing. I should be able to charge what I want. Why should you tell me what I can and can't do and why I have to give everybody equal everything? Even if somebody wants a Ferrari, I'm supposed to give them a Ferrari even though they're only paying for a Pinto? No.
No, the people who own the pipes, right? Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, AT&T, though their position is kind of complicated right now. But basically, if you own pipes, you want to be able to make a lot of money off of them by charging websites to travel over them.
Yeah, you do. Why is that? Because those things, somebody just didn't hand them that technology. They created it. They built it. They installed it. They want to make money off of it. You and I, we want to be able to have the fastest, best internet. And you know what else we want? We want our internet to always improve, to always get faster, to always be able to handle more and do more. What we don't want is a bunch of turtles slowly moving. We don't want that. Europe has that feel in a lot of places. almost DSL kind of feel. We want quicker, faster. Life, people will pay for better stuff. One of the other things, though, is a lot of these internet service providers, and this is where people like Netflix and everything else worry, is those internet service providers also provide content, because a lot of them own content. They own movie companies, television companies. So they have content, too, and their fear is, hey, they're going to not do anything to help us. They're going to jack up their speeds so their stuff downloads fast and people can access it quicker. Uh-oh, that's not good for us. Yikes, what do we do?
And their point is that we own them, we can do, we should be able to do what we want with them, and the government shouldn't be involved.
And if we make more money, we'll invest more heavily in them, and you'll get faster speeds. We have had the principle of net neutrality, though, almost since the beginning of the internet, and it's flourished pretty well. It's working out pretty well, and it's a very innovative open space.
That the principle of it all. I love it. We've had the principle. You've had the principle, but you really haven't put it into effect. So having it and actually using it are two different things. Most of you out there, would you pay a little bit more to get a little bit more access? I mean, that's what we do. Should we have ticket neutrality at sporting events? Right? Where, you know, everybody pays the same price, but not everybody gets the same seat. Well, that's not very fair. No, we don't want that. Some people pay a higher price. What do they get? They get better seats. They do. Some people are silly and they overpay and they don't get great seats. But by and large, you pay the 10 grand, you're going to be sitting down there. Right there. But it's going to be a fight. And these companies are going to fight off and square off against each other. It's going to be King Kong versus Godzilla, Mothra versus the Smog Monster, Mayweather versus McGregor. The FCC, well, you know what? They're speaking about this because they opted to do net neutrality, but lo and behold, a new administration and new viewpoints.
What the FCC is saying is, look, number one, let's not regulate, right? In order to protect the pipes and to make sure that they're free, you have to pass regulations. Number two, they're very close to the telecom companies. They want to do what's right for the telecom companies. They will argue that if you give the telecom companies more freedom to control their pipes, they'll innovate more. What everybody else is saying is, no, every time you relax and let the telecom companies do what they want, they stifle innovation. It's not good for everyone.
Well, here's my thing. If you tell everybody that everything essentially has to be the same, usually it's not great, right? It's not great. You go to a sporting event tonight or you go to a concert and they give you a free T-shirt. Is it the best T-shirt or did everybody just kind of get a T-shirt? But then you're at that concert and you spend that extra 20 or 30 bucks and you get yourself a T-shirt you really like. Oh. Nobody's telling you have to do this. Well, is it really going to affect us? Yes, because what happens when they charge Netflix a little bit more because of the bandwidth and the pipes that you guys are using so much of this? Oh, they're going to charge you a little bit more. Again, people pay for Ferraris. And how many of you are going to freak out over an extra 99 cents? Well, a lot. Are you going to get rid of Netflix? No. But this is what the battle is going to become. This is what the battle is going to become. And I hear all the time that, well, you know, if we do net neutrality, it's going to be so much better. And then everybody's going to be going essentially the same speed. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. Europe has it. And it's worked all along. And it's an open internet. And it's good. Well, you know what? We haven't had it. We've had the theory of it, but we haven't had it. And look how good it is. Look how fast it is. I will say this. The new place that we just moved in, and these are my first two shows from here today that I have done. We're motoring along. And the Fios that's come in here, we had a choice of 500 up and 500 down. That's pretty fast. When you say there, Phil, is that pretty fast?
That is a bit quick there.
That is a bit quick as opposed to 10 and 100. They're going to innovate. Of course they are. Because they're still in competition with other ISPs. That's what is going to happen. But we'll see. we'll see what happens. But it's very interesting. And remember, this is your world like my world. We all love the internet. We all play on the internet. That's what we love to do. That's why stuff like this is vitally important comparatively to a lot of the other crap that goes on there, because that stuff doesn't affect you day to day. We all love our internet. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. Chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text us as always, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And I never, I mean, if they do this, it's all about regulating them like a telecom company or a phone company. And every time we get more and more regulations, I find that more and more things end up like crap. Chad Benson Show.
You are in it up to your ears. Literally. There's no turning back now.
You dented my boob. You totally dented it.
You know who you are.
Here's Chad Benson.
The sort of the core point of net neutrality is that the internet has been a place of openness. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you can start a company, where you can do what you want, and you can be reasonably certain that if you put a website on the internet, people will be able to get to it. But if we don't have net neutrality, and you start a company that is opposed to something that Comcast is running, and is a competitor to something that Time Warner Cable has, they can shut you down. So it's not just competition, it's the entire principle of the internet.
I don't know if it's the entire principle. And by the way, if Comcast or any of these internet service providers shut down, you can find other internet service providers. They don't want to shut you down. Right? They don't. Yeah, they do, because you're running against them. Come on, let's all be real. And what happens when and if that does happen? Well, then people are going to be screwed. No. Somebody will come and will become their own independent internet service providers across the board elsewhere, and they'll be able to service you. Maybe better, maybe cheaper, maybe with something new. Oh, never thought of that. Well, now you have. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Brad and Indy, what's happening?
Hey, man. Yeah, I just want to – my biggest thing is that rarely giving the government more room for regulation is ever – that never works out very well. We both know, and you know this more than anybody, that when they make a bill and they pass it, whatever that may be, a regulation, it's not usually about the face value, whatever's happening in that regulation. It's about what they're going to use that for 20 steps down the line. So my thing is, I don't know that I want to give the FCC, our federal government, access to regulating the internet. Where does that lead? You know, maybe nowhere. But my thing is this, the free market has done for years and years and years of the internet exactly what will continue to happen. It will regulate itself. And guess what? When somebody makes steps in crap, guess what? Someone's going to come, just like you said, come alongside to fix it. Giving the government access is going to be just like Obamacare, but just like we did with, unfortunately, the Patriot Act did the same thing in many ways. It's not about what the face value is. It's about the 18 steps down the road that they're going to, other things are going to use this for. The federal government's notorious for that. Bureaucracy denotes more bureaucracy, and it doesn't give up power. What ticks me off is all these people mad at Trump for being the first president in a long time that's actually said, you know what, maybe less regulation's better, and maybe less power to the government's better, and yet people are saying, no, we need more power, more power, more power. Well, usually it's the same people that want the power. So I think that's pretty telling.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate your call. James, what's happening, man?
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. It's also like the post office tried to, for many years, lobby to have emails, each one charged like 10 cents to send emails because they couldn't send real mail and people fall off using that, okay? Real quick, I want to say also is that I'm not either a liberal or a Democrat or a Republican. I voted for Trump. And the only problem I have is, all the arguments aside, it seems like, with all the figures out there, that the Democrats are the ones that have the most people in our pockets, which means the taxpayers. So how can you have a group of people opposed to another group of people when they're taking money out of their pocket? If they weren't taking money out of the Republicans' pockets, they would have a different point of view.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I appreciate your call. And look, you know what? The one thing about the Democrats and Republicans that makes me laugh is the Democrats are going to tell you exactly what they're going to do with their money and how they're going to waste it and what it's all about, where the Republicans don't tell you what they're going to do with their money, but they say they're not going to spend it. Then they spend it just like drunken sailor on shore leave. They both jack the pooch when it comes to a lot of that stuff. But when it comes to net neutrality, look, the beauty of the net is it's wide open and it's free and innovation will happen. If you think it's going to all of a sudden magically because of net neutrality, it's all going to be fairer, you're wrong. What's going to happen is you're going to stifle innovation. You're going to stifle people from running and saying, I want to try something. I want to build something. I want to take some of these people on. You will stifle that. And what you'll find is the more that they put regulations on stuff, the more it benefits the top of the food chain than the bottom of the food chain. It's the exact opposite of trickle down. It's trickle up and lots of it. Look what happened with Glass-Steagall and the whole, you know, Dodd-Frank and all of that stuff. The more regulation you have in the financial industry, what did it end up doing to banks? It killed small and medium-sized banks. What do you think it's going to do if you go and regulate the hell out of the internet? It's going to stifle all of that stuff. And in doing so, it's going to only strengthen these big internet service providers. And they're not going to have to worry about innovating over and over again to compete because there's no need to at that point in time. That's not what we want. That isn't. Will there be some bumps in the road? Is it perfect? No, but I believe the alternative is far worse. Is far, far worse. You can always text the program, 323-538-2423. Check us out, ChadBensonShow.com. You can go there. You can grab the podcast. I got these things called the podcast. Go check them out. Share them with your friends. They're great. They make great gifts all the year. So check out ChadBensonShow.com. You can email us always as well, and that's free. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us always, and @ChadBensonShow is the Twitter. And we love getting your tweets. Solid fun day. We got you over the hump as we tend to do. We'll do it again tomorrow for Phil, for Anthony. My name's Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.